listening to an episode of the Let's Netflix and Chill podcast, hosted by Reese Chanson.
The Law According to Lydia Pope. It's a 6-episode series, averaging 40 to 45 minutes per episode. It's Italian, based in Italy. Apparently, it's based off an actual story. Now, the events of the story or the events of the series, I don't know if they're fabricated to bring an entertainment aspect to the storyline, but from what I understand, it's based on actual events, which is an interesting aspect of women in the workplace, women revolution, women independence, women becoming more self-sufficient, more independent, moving towards the 21st century. Apparently, this is, if I'm not mistaken, I'm just gonna say this out loud, it's an old story, and it holds homage to a lot of women across the world that have come across to this story. It's about a young woman, Lydia Pope, who studies to be a lawyer and becomes a lawyer, graduates and passes the bar in Italy, Turin, to be specific, and you know, after graduating, she expects to take on cases and do all these sort of things. And upon the first, or the eve of her first major official case, to be precise, she gets blackballed by the court system, or the judicial system in a way, and they somehow sort of ban her or sanction her from performing any legal representation for her being a criminal lawyer on that sort of situation. And that, and of course, Enrico, her brother, happens to be a lawyer as well. Now, before the events start off, we find out more about her little by little. We first discover that she's from a family of great lawyers, and her brother was a lawyer, or is a lawyer. Her father was a lawyer, stuff like that. And she had a sort of a disagreement or riff-raff, back and forth tussle with her family, because, you know, this is the 1800s or the early 70s and the early 90s rather, and her family has sort of courted a mate for her, and they want her to marry a specific person. And you later find out that the father wanted to marry a specific person as a way of trying to sell her off, turn her off, and pay one of his debts. But that's not really essential. It just gives you an aspect about the old man, Mr. Poet, the father, in a way. So Lydia Poet is a lawyer who never really fully practices law to her full or to full fruition, because of various reasons. Now, throughout the whole process, like I said, I don't know if the entertainment aspect or the lawyering, or the, you know, her dealing with the law aspect was fabricated to make the show interesting, because she was doing a lot more James Bond, a lot more Sherlock Holmes type of acting. She was jumping hurdles and sneaking into people's offices and picking locks and deciphering messages and taking on different roles, becoming a part-time prostitute for a second, not actually perform the act of prostitution, but sort of become a master of disguise in a way. James, in a way, making it seem like James Bond-esque or Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes is known for, you know, disguises and blending into situation to investigate a crime. She was doing that, but which pulls away from the whole aspect of being a lawyer. She was doing too much of investigative work, rather than law side of it. I know the show is called The Law According to Lydia Pope, and it's based on true events. So a lot of women during her time were truly inspired. Maybe she was the driving force that pushed women into the workplace. I don't know. Well, all I know is the entertainment aspect of this was well put together. She did a bunch of crazy stuff. Like, there's a scene towards the final episode, the 6th episode, where she's hopping trains, moving from one train carriage to another while the train is in motion to capture a few bandits. She was holding pistols and guns, and she was a detective in a way, following people, hiding in closets, discovering hidden doors and hidden secret ways. she was more of a detective, based on the story, than an actual lawyer. Now, granted, with the help of her brother, because after she was sanctioned, prevented from performing law, she sort of teamed up with her brother, who's a lawyer, and she became his unofficial or official assistant, where she did most of the work to solve cases where he got all the credit, which pays homage to a lot of instances where back in the day, women did a lot of great work and their husbands or brothers or siblings took the credit because it was seen more of a taboo for women to do certain things. There's even a scene in the show where her brother's wife was like, if God wanted you to be a lawyer, he would have made you a woman. Now, at that very second when I heard that, see, that I was expecting her to put on a few man trousers and start acting like a man. But that did not happen. Of course, there were scenes where she was pushing the status quo, pushing the envelope a little further. She bought a bicycle. And it seemed like haram in a way for a woman to be riding a bicycle in the middle of the street. It was uncommon, unright. So she pushed the envelope or the envelope for a lot of women in terms of progression, in terms of the feminist movement, not the facade feminist movement that's now about blackballing men and sanctioning men. I mean, the actual feminist movement that pushed women, that helped give women opportunities to be in better situations. That movement. And she was a great aunt to her younger niece who somehow was in love with a gardener, and the gardener was somehow bribed by the mother to take money from her in order to leave her daughter or his daughter in a way. So it has so many aspects to it. She, like I already said, she was a master of disguise. She became a journalist for an episode to investigate a crime. And most of her cases dealt with murders, which means she was a defense lawyer in the criminal aspect. Passed the bar, she did well. Towards the end, of course, as I already said, she was sanctioned in the first or second episode, and which prevented her from entering the courtroom or performing any type of law investigative practices. Towards the end, she files an appeal in which the court of law or the panel of judges deny her appeal, in which she packs her bags and tries to find greener pastures elsewhere. In the final scene, she walks into a carriage or enters a carriage, which will take her to a ship where she will sail to America, where she'll have perhaps new liberation, new opportunities to be a different person, to follow her dream, which I would understand if you lived in a town, Turin, for example, where they did not recognize you as a woman lawyer. They wanted you to be married off and do all household stuff. You would feel suffocated if you lived in such a place where you could not do what you love, which is practicing law and helping people get out of tricky situations and stuff like that. The show portrays her passion to the core, that she's very passionate. She goes full throttle. When she picks up a case, she will do everything, even put herself in danger. There are several instances where she almost got stabbed, choked, almost got pushed off a moving train in order to get down to the truth, in order to track down the perpetrators, the right perpetrators who committed such a crime, ended up framing said person or masquerading the truth in such a way it seems like another person who may have been there, wrong place at the wrong time, or right place at the wrong time, a coincidence perhaps, but she finds a way to free them or find justice for them in a way, which is exceptional in a way. Now, the whole point of her brother winning cases because of her, of course, her brother towards the end warms up to her and actually sort of supports the idea of her being a lawyer, even though in the beginning, it seems like he's trying more than anything to sabotage her position into becoming a fully fledged lawyer. Of course, she has the credentials, she has the qualifications, but they will not allow her to perform those, which makes me wonder how the hell she goes into school and studies law in university, but won't actually practice law in the court of law, which is odd to me. But of course, this is apparently based on real events, so it happened. But I find it odd that they allowed her to go to school. Maybe they thought she was not intelligent enough, because there was a time where women were not regarded as intelligent as men. So there's a possibility that they said, it's her money. Let her go to university. She'll fail the bar exam anyway. But she surprises all and passes it and becomes a qualified lawyer who cannot practice law because she's a female. So that's a lot of misogyny. You pick it right off on the first episode. The first judge, where she shows up to represent a client, his mouth is oozing with misogyny to its very core. So yeah, it was an interesting tale, an interesting series, 6-part series already mentioned. Law based, Lydia Pope. Quite interesting indeed. Now, of course, there's a whole entanglement of her love interest, whether she's interested in Jacopo or this other guy, who I forgot his name for some weird reason, who helps her get to America, who's helping her get to America. And, you know, it's quite an interesting story. And I found it quite compelling. And I think a lot of people will find it intriguing as well to check it out and truly indulge in this series. The lore, according to Lydia Pope, not Pope, Poet. I don't know why I'm saying Lydia Pope. Lydia Poet. Maybe I'm saying Pope because it's Italy and, you know, the Vatican, you know, that. Anyway. It has been an honor. Let's hang out another time.
Now that was entertaining. You just listened to an episode of the Let's Netflix and Chill podcast with Reese Jansen. With that being said, remember to support the podcast on Patreon. And let's hang out another time. Adios, folks. Adios.